Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another session. This is going to be a little bit of a different type of episode than I've done in the past, and I want to help you to understand why this is going to be different and what I'm going to be doing that is different. So lately, I have been really in this place of deep introspective devotion with working and not working, but building my faith with God and finding myself in Jesus. And in so much of that, the main thing that I continuously find and run into is, if you've ever gotten to scripture, you know that the only way to truly turn yourself over to Jesus, to truly allow him to transform your heart from stone into flesh, is to give up and let die your worldly self, the identity of who you once thought that you were in all of its facets. And so I really found myself in this season, as I'm going through school, feeling overloaded and overwhelmed with just so many different things. Like, university school is so much different than university courses are a lot different than even just when I went to college. And it's not even that they're different. It's just that there's so much content that you have to consume to obviously do well. And that's a given. And I knew that going in. But then you get into some of these courses, and specifically for two of them that I'm taking this semester, it's not about memorization. It's about understanding the journey, the story of the early Christians. And so there's so many different angles and perspectives of looking at their journey and where they were and what they had to overcome and the belief systems that they encountered and the persecution that they faced and the introduction of Jesus post the Abrahamic law. And so it's been a lot, and that's fine. And I'm so happy with it. And I'm learning so much, which is really cool. But on top of homeschooling, motherhood, and life, and keeping up with just your everyday average things, it's kind of felt like a lot. And so a part of me was wondering what to do with my business, what to do with this mission of serving 500,000 women in overcoming their anxiety and just living a truly healthier, happier, more faith-led life. And in no means did I want to, or did I think that I needed to give up my business, but I really felt that God was trying to work through my business, and I was resisting him by trying to come up with ideas and strategies and programs and all these different ways of navigating how I could honor him through my business. And I realized, it just came to me a couple days ago, where it was like, I don't need to figure out how to honor him. I need to let him work through it. And so I'm going to be running a 5-week program, which you are invited to join us. There is going to be a link into the Facebook group in the show notes, and it is 100% free to join. And the reason why I wanted to run it this way, I had originally put a $97 price tag on it, because that's what this program has been in the past, Comeback Mama, is that there's so many reasons that we give ourselves why change now and transformation now and healing and overcoming and doing better now is not an option. As much as we want it and we crave it, our human nature takes over and finances aren't available, or time isn't available, or there's too much of this going on, or we don't have enough time for this. And really, truly what it boils down to is the scarcity of letting go of your identity. And so I wanted to remove as many factors as I could that could eliminate a person's objections for being a part of this. If you're someone who hasn't dreamed in a long time, if you're someone who's tired of being tired, if you are someone who is always trying to force your energy with caffeine or hyper-scrolling on Facebook or Instagram or social media to get all this motivation, or you're even turning to your Bible with this hyper-fixated concentration view of like, okay, feed me quick so I can move on to the next thing, or you're ripping through your house to get it clean because it's overwhelming and overloading, but you need to get it done, and so you're approaching your whole life like that. I wanted to remove as many barriers as possible to help you to understand that this is going to be one of the most transformational, faith-led, of course, 5 weeks that I'm going to be hosting. I was going to bring myself through this originally, and so I was like, well, I'm going to open this up to my community. And it's all about redefining your identity. But the best part is that you're not going to decide that you're this boss, babe, hustle, mom, organized woman, whatever, with all the titles. You're going to discover who you are through the lens of Jesus, which means that you're going to go through this doing something that nobody else is doing, and that is very much scripture led, and you're going to die to yourself. And no, like, context, this isn't like some kind of crazy suicide call, but it's truly letting go of what you think you need to be doing right now. God is trying to speak through his people, even the ones who have not chosen to be saved, and we are so in our heads and in our way. And it just became so clear and apparent to me for myself how I am standing in his way to do good works right now. And I feel like a lot of us are really feeling this call for deep introspection and to almost isolate and retract from the world right now, to get still and silent and listen to his message and be present with him. But we push it away because we feel like we have so many things that we've deemed as more important than him. And if we go into what will be the rest of this year and going forward without really building in the most healthiest and rooted and powerful habit there is, and that is getting close and building your devotion and your relationship with God first and foremost above all else, above your laundry, you're going to perpetuate and continue to perpetuate this mental insanity of trying to outwork yourself in the name of good. And it's just not going to work, because if you're overviewing your life right now and the way that you're approaching it, you're likely not having any fun. There's very little joy. There's a lot of missing peace. You're finding that you have to force a lot of good moments or force yourself to be grateful. And in Jesus, there is no such thing as force. And so, so that's kind of where I've been lately. And so I'm going to be running this program. You're absolutely welcome to join us. It's 5 weeks. We're going to be redefining who we are. We're going to be going through our externals. We're going to be looking through our closets, the amount of times I threw away things that were just so absurdly revealing or truly just didn't fit my style whatsoever. There was no form of modesty in my attire. And I really do believe that as women, first and foremost, especially if you're someone who's single and especially if you're someone who's married, we shouldn't need to show off our body. Like, that is really this lustful idea that the devil gives us that calls us to seek our own or need to have attention. And so in one of the weeks, we go through our wardrobe, we go through our closets. And if you're overwhelmed with your laundry, this is a really great place to start. We also spend in week 4 just a deep devotion into God and getting still and silent, which is probably one of the most, if not the most powerful week. And then we do define some goals for you, at the very least one that you can focus on and work towards, because it is in the betterment and the pursuit of betterment of ourselves here on this earth that we become a vessel armored with the knowledge of God and the strength that you build in taking care of yourself. You can only love and care for others to the extent that you love and care for yourself. And I've seen that to be true time and time again. We will try to neglect or negate ourselves or martyr ourselves as moms, especially or as women, because we feel like if we put ourselves on the back burner and we pour into everybody else, that that's going to somehow fulfill ourselves, but it doesn't. And we actually need to start with fulfilling ourselves first. Obviously first with the word, but then with care and kindness and strength building and good nutrition and movement, because these are things that stimulate our bodies naturally, chemically naturally, so that we don't need all this medication and propaganda and scrolling for motivation and all this other kind of stuff. So I digress. That's where I've been at. It's been quite a journey of really surrendering to get to this point. I'm going to say that it's absolutely uncomfortable. There is no part of me that's like, yeah, this feels so great. It feels honestly terrible. But in hindsight and perspective, I know that this is the right thing. And I also know that in the duality of that, it also doesn't feel as bad as I thought that it would be either. I just have to really be willing to surrender myself and surrender my ideas of what my future looks like. And school, in terms of my future, is the pursuant of something. So I have that, and that's great. And then working with you guys just to serve and simply focus on service is my main priority moving forward. And that's all that I want to do. And it lights me up, and it takes so much pressure off of everything. And I love pouring into you guys as I learn and as I grow. And it's been such an honor to serve you, even through this podcast, over the last 3 years. And I just look forward to continuing to allow God to work through me and through this space in all the ways that he has planned and destined and in whatever ways that looks like too. So that's where I've been at. And I want to context that because I had this really powerful breakthrough moment that took place the other day. And last night, well, it kind of was like a series of over 3 days, this really powerful encounter with God, this powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And there was so much in there for me that just brought such serene peace and clarity that I also knew that I needed to share it with you, because you're going through something in your life right now that you don't feel like you know how to fix, or you're hyperfixated on fixing, or you're trying to like do something out of survival mode to get yourself out of a bind or a pinch or a trauma or a pain or a numbing, and you don't know what to do. And this message came through so insanely clear for me, and I know that it is going to impact you. So last night I had this encounter where I was laying in bed and it was like 12:15. I had a really awesome day. So it wasn't that anything particularly sparked this, but I was laying in bed and all of a sudden at 12:15, I just feel myself like wake up. I just had a shot of energy, like adrenaline was pumping, like I was awake. And I just felt my body getting up and going to the computer, and I just knew that I needed to write. And so I'm going to read to you what I wrote. It's a little bit longer. However, it is so important to take the time to move through this message, because you need the context in order to understand this powerful message, this encounter that just absolutely poured through me last night. And I promise you, if you're willing to go into this with curiosity and an open mind, what was shared with me is going to be a resolution for you to know what to do to navigate through your pain or your trials or your challenges of any degree or sort that you are facing right now. So I'm going to get into this. So if you've been here for a while, you know that I'm writing a book. It is called She Is Restored. Naturally follows the podcast, follows the community, which is so much fun. And it's all about restoring yourself in God. And what I love so much about how God has set chapter one, well, you'll see when we get into this. So here we go. It all started with a dream, the kind of dreams that have a multitude of different meanings that you just can't quite pinpoint exactly what it means, because there's so many different ways of looking at it. And yet the dream takes over your entire day. You find yourself constantly revisiting the thoughts of contending with what the true meaning of this dream could really mean. When looking at dreams, you must address what is immediately happening in your life, because in some regard, all dreams are derived from what is your immediate subjective reality, what your immediate subjective reality is, in so much that at any given time, there is many things that can be happening at once that you do not perceive or are simply overlooking. And so in a dreamlike state, your mind can explore paras, which means limits in Greek, of things you are contending with that you haven't been able to explore or resolve, simply because in your waking mind, you host a bias to some extent or another that resists you from being able to see what you cannot see. Your dreams are an interwoven space of unlimited fortitude that navigates the conscious, subconscious, and the space of the divine. These factions exist simultaneously all at once, but our conscious mind is unable to process everything, as it would be overloaded and send our brain into a state that psilocybin can elicit when one takes too much, an ever-expanding vastness of a high, unable to come back to comprehend any form of grounding in a perspective-based conscious reality. Dreams have a way of making things of no meaning or seemingly no resolution just make sense, to find a solution. Dreams have a way of naturally going beyond pairs of reality and collecting the knowledge, metaphorical wisdom, or divine interceding of truth, whether you're seeking it or not. Before I get into what this dream was and its metaphorical meaning, I believe will radically expand the way you think about yourself, your life, and this life in its totality. I must set you up to understand that I got to this place to receive this kind of a dream. I must set you up to understand how I got to this place to receive this kind of a dream, and what in my immediate reality looks like in order to understand the different perspectives, faults, and conclusions drawn from this dream in order for it to not only make sense to you, but also for you to be able to look beyond the limitations of your own bias and perspectives you host in your conscious mind to see your current reality, the challenges, blessings, nuances, and aspirations as something greater than what it all may seem, none of which is good or bad, but merely just is. I call this God's way of directing us down our unique paths that only we personally deep in our souls, an intuitive nudge, can really interpret. And yet, even with logic, rationale, and reasoning applied, in the end, only merely faith exists to follow the dream and see out the potential of the conclusions your soul rests on in its interpretation. You might be thinking, wow, this is a mouthful, and you would be right. And yet a part of you is intrigued, leaning in to want to know more, because what I'm about to share with you is being typed at 12:15 a.m. in the middle of the night, inspired by the Holy Spirit, a truth that is meant to be brought through that draws in even the greatest of skeptics, sometimes merely for self-interested regards, for others the curiosity to understand more. And though there are many other interpretations of what might draw someone to read more, I'll settle with one more example of what compels someone to lean in and look further. And that is the resonance of truth pouring through. Listen, listen to me, God pleads, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Isaiah 55:2-3. In my conscious reality, I'm contending with financial circumstances that have been pressed upon me for several different reasons. One factor is building financial knowledge and taking appropriate and adequate steps, as per my current knowledge, to improve the financial health of my family. My husband and I have faced many strains regarding financial health, both growing up in homes that believed in sacrificing time with family to work and provide, equating that to the meaning of having a good life, while equally not necessarily having an abundance of things. Yet dinner was always on the table, the lights in the house were always on, there was always clothes on our backs, and we both did not go without any childhood activities. Our parents provided for us in the best way they could with what they knew, and we both agreed we lived good lives regarding financial means. So we are actively taking steps to clean up what is 7 years of health circumstances that drove us into financial disarray, while equally accepting the parts of the disarray that was our own irresponsible doing as well. Additionally, we are navigating the cleanup stage where things aren't where we want them to be, but they are definitely better than where we were. And if you are someone who has ever taken the steps to clean up your financial health, you know that the stage in between of learning new habits, knowledge, and discipline is far from easy and comfortable. As we grow through these times, we are facing a lot of opportunities to really stay in our lane and deeply value all the blessings, support, and grace we have been shown and are shown as we grow through these times, none of which we perceive as bad. If you were to ask us on most days, we would tell you we genuinely feel taken care of and blessed. Sure, there are those days where our minds wander too far into the comparison of where we could be, or I could be if, or if only I would have, insert financial circumstance you look back on and temporarily regret. I wish I had what he, she has, insert desire. Yet thankfully, due to a deeper devotion to getting into the Bible and turning to God's word, these thoughts are often dismissed and replaced with God's goodness, or become a mere reminder of the beauty of the journey he has brought us on to bring us to today. Nonetheless, these days happen, and maybe these kinds of days have been creeping up on you more than you'd like to admit. And the most powerful way to accept where you are and see the blessings you have today is to tune out the noise of the world and get into his word to find him. We speak to God through our prayers, and he speaks to us through his word. It is a beautiful balance indeed. With this pressing financial reality dancing through my head, I have equally been equipping myself with more of God's word. For so long I was a when I feel like it reader. I'd open my Bible when I'd remember to, or if I had time. Basically, when I felt like it. And trust me, that definitely did not help me to feel closer to him, nor did it bring me any type of deeper internal peace. I found I suffered, and truly even more than when I didn't read it at all, because I came to realize one day that if I knew the truth of who God truth of God, who he is, at the very least, the highlight points of his righteousness and holiness. If he was the way, the truth, and the life, then there was a spiritual battle happening upon me, and it was pulling me away from making reading his word to draw closer to him my priority. And that sent me into a deeper desire to combat the spirit of the devil and dig deeper into wanting to understand why God was so good, what he sent Jesus here to do, the truth about the spiritual battle woven over our minds and eyes when we become complacent in our devotions with him. All right, quick motherhood moment. The truth about the spiritual battle woven over our minds and eyes when we become complacent in our devotion with him. I craved to be in his peace, and it led me to building the habits of, especially on the days I didn't feel like I needed it or felt it was necessary, didn't have time, I would some days force myself to read instead. So at this point, with the financial adventure and this deeper devotion to growing closer to God, I found myself amongst a third paradigm happening simultaneously. The closer I grew to God, the more I felt called to empty myself to him, to let go of all I thought I needed to do, was supposed to do, what my purpose was, what titles I held, how I identified or associated myself with characteristics or personas, the deepest parts of me, without having to discover what exactly those parts were all ready to finally be let go. It wasn't a choice where I woke up one day and said to myself, today I'm finally going to let my ego go. I'm finally going to surrender to God. It has been built through deeper daily devotion of praying over a weak mind when it starts to race, wandering or attempt to settle contemptuous ideas, desires of the flesh, idolatry, gluttony, envy, lust. I would catch myself and pray it away. And within moments, almost every time, those thoughts stood no chance in the name of Jesus. Some days, harder days, I'd spend all day praying over my mind and heart, all day. But over time, the more I got into the Word, talked about God with others, with whoever's path I crossed, invited the conversations into my business, motherhood, and my marriage, the fewer those days of needing to pray over myself all day became. I identified the power of peace that truly does come from God and only him. But that doesn't mean I'm exempt from his wrath or settling for a that's good enough for now relationship with him when things went right. I have been working diligently and deeply in surrendering all parts of me to him, insomuch that I have found myself in this place of letting go of the need to charge for my therapy services or to even need to attach myself to having to hustle or run my business at all. I am equally in school full time, working towards my therapy license while homeschooling 3 of my 4 children and working more diligently to build healthier habits within myself daily, because I know that you truly can only love and care for others to the extent that you show that same love and care to yourself. Faith has played a massive role in taking down my walls and the need to defend, stay on guard, or resist and restrict love and care the more I've grown in my faith and devotion to God. Simultaneously, my heart is compelled into a change and transformation, and I could not will or work towards that solely on my own. So while these 3 major paradigms are playing out in my conscious reality, I am finding myself dreaming deeper, meaningful dreams. I prayed a prayer one night where I asked God to show me him, not as a test or trial, but out of genuine curiosity and desire. I was not attached to the when of this occurring, nor was I specifically looking for justification in knowing that he is real, but just simply to know him, experience him, truly encounter him. That is when this dream appeared one random night. This dream came about after what was a really powerful breakthrough that occurred on that day. I was stuck in my head about trying to solve challenges that arose with the financial circumstances and attempting to mentally navigate all different types of calculated scenarios that were going to solve this challenge as quickly as possible. During this particular morning, I had a grocery order I needed to go and pick up. I had set the time for pickup for 9:30 a.m. and I had until 10 a.m. to be there to check in. In true Riley fashion, I left the house with the kids at 9:29 and we currently live 15 minutes from the store, which would put my arrival roughly 9:45. That's just enough time, I thought to myself, loaded the kids up and headed out on the main highway. Once I hit the highway, my thoughts started racing with the calculated potential outcomes that I was determined to solve in these 15 minutes with no outside consultation or pen and paper to create a plan. Just me, no radio, silent, sleepy kids, and I had myself convinced the resolution was just going to come. At one point on the drive, I decided to turn it all over to God. I caught myself stuck in my thoughts and broke through the noise. No, I will not stay trapped in this any longer. So I put my worship music on and began to praise God, giving the glory to Him for all that exists in my life, even the things that were hard or uncertain. And in that moment, I realized it was 9:45 and I had missed my exit and was going the wrong way. 15 minutes the wrong way. And just in time, when giving it all up to Him and turning on the music. Oh no, I lost my spot. Just on time. And in that moment, as I signaled, there it goes. When giving it all up to Him and turning on the music while praising bellowed out of me, there was one final exit, the last one I could get on to course correct me to get to where I needed to be, and I'd likely be just on time. In that moment, as I signaled for the final exit, I realized God was speaking to me, saying that when we do not make room for Him to work, we will find ourselves off His path and lost in chaos that may put us in the wrong direction. It made me think of the Israelites when God promised them the promised land if they followed Moses through the desert. And because they leaned on their own understanding and directions, they ended up lost for 40 years until they finally reached their promised destination. The king will think the Israelites are lost, trapped by the desert. Exodus 14:3. Yet it wasn't the desert that held them captive, simply their desires and contending with their own thoughts. I arrived at 9:55 just in time to check in, and it was at that moment I felt the overwhelm of truly just how held I really was in everything. Within 24 hours, everything I was stressing myself out with during that trip to get groceries had presented opportunities and resolutions that I could not have calculated if I tried. Needless to say, in those moments of devotion and surrender, God truly moved the mountains and delivered a clear way. It was during that evening that the dream occurred. This dream was not like any other dream I've had. It was a dream that felt prophetic, yet I am unsettled in knowing it was one. This dream was short, concise, explicitly detailed, and held so much depth and meaning. As you read about this dream, I invite you to pause. As you listen to this about this dream, I invite you to pause and think about different aspects of relationship, meaning, purpose, and messaging that can exist within it. Not just for me personally, but for you. How it relates to you, and on an even deeper scale, how it relates to life. We all come together with different backgrounds, knowledge, genetics, upbringings, and bias in order to come together, to work together, to interpret and put together the meaning behind the messages that God offers us in our everyday lives. It's why, as human beings, we need community, support, a shoulder to lean on when times are hard and good, because as one person navigating life, we simply cannot do it alone. This dream had three distinct pieces to it. As far as I can understand, it started with me being shown that there are two backyards, both enclosed with a standard wooden fence. In the first yard, there is a gray pit bull, seemingly nice and friendly, but always barking in anticipation at the fence that separates the two yards. What is also important to understand is that within this first yard is a bunch of exposed ground that leads to revealing the roots of the tree that we will explore on the other side of the fence. Within this first yard are ferrets that are aggravating the dog. They are running into the tunnels that exposes the tree and going into the root system, eating the roots and coming out poisoned. The dog isn't trying to attack the ferrets or eat them. Rather, it's almost as if the dog is aggravated and offering a warning of what he knows will happen, which is that the ferrets will rush in, eat the roots, and come out poisoned. Now this dream pans to the other side of the fence, where the tree resides. There is nothing in the backyard except the fence that surrounds it, manicured green grass, and a big, tall, beautiful, healthy tree. There is no ground exposed, and there is nothing else surrounding this tree. But it is blooming, green, thick, and healthy. Then the dream pans to the final aspect of the scene, and it's back to the first yard to take witness to the depth of the roots. A person that resembles no one I've ever associated with, though likened to a male figure, comes out into the yard with the tree and has decided he needs to remove the tree because it's poisoning the ferrets. He doesn't want anything to get killed or hurt, so he must remove what is causing them harm. And yet, upon trying to dig up the tree, the ground will not break. And he becomes aware of how deep and everlasting these roots truly are rooted into the ground. An infinite end they go down. I spent the whole day toiling over this dream and its meaning and realized that in order for me to understand any of it, I had to look at the different sections to gather the potential full message. Remember, to me, this dream may mean something different than it means to you. And there may be pieces or perspectives I'm missing due to my personal bias and experience of life. So once again, I invite you to pause and think over the different aspects and meanings and purpose that this dream could hold before carrying on. Once I finally felt like I had an aha moment, I was reminded of Daniel, the only one who can interpret King Herod's dreams. No matter how trained or wise one claimed to be, Daniel remained a faithful man, even in lieu of being held captive to serve as a slave of the sort to the king. This dream to me felt like what I assumed Daniel felt when God revealed the meaning of the king's dream. I saw the first yard as worldly. The ferrets represent people that dismiss warning signs of poison, and because they are self-interest-led or unwilling to give up their fleshly ways, they become poisoned by the righteousness of the tree. The tree symbolized to me the tree of life in Genesis, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Because a self-interest-led person can only be coming from pure evil desires at the core when they are not bound to God and led through faith, no matter the goodness the tree may potentially hold for them, they will burrow their way into what they think, feel, or believe is good and never be able to taste the fruits of it, even if warning after warning, bark after bark, trying to tell them to turn away from their sins and repent, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the ferrets continue to try and eat from the goodness of the tree and sustain their life. And yet they truly just cannot be successful no matter how hard they try. They will always be condemned to life. The dog, I believe, represents the gospel, the warning, and the good news. The warning must reside in the side of the world because in the yard of the tree, there indeed needs to be no warning. It is pure, whole, and good in its essence. The second yard with the tree represents the Garden of Eden before it was defiled by Eve and Adam. That even in such a disdainful world, there still exists God's kingdom, his pureness, holiness, and beauty no matter what someone does. They cannot deface all that he is. Thus, the second yard remains unexposed, perfect, and untouched. The man in the dream I interpret as human nature. One believed in the need to protect what is innocent. In this case, the ferrets, or people, by removing what is seemingly killing it. Not taking the time to understand or contend with what the bigger picture might be, merely and simply the truth. So human nature would rather attempt to dig up and remove the tree that is presumably evil, only to realize that not only can it not impede the ground, human nature cannot impede the ground of the second yard, that what is true, holy, and perfect, but is brought to observe and to see, if willing to look over the fence of one's personal perception and bias, the roots of the tree that are infinitely grounded in the way that could never be removed. Thus, the ferrets, the people, are truly the problem in the whole scenario. A parable that wrestles with our need as humans to attain and envelop ourselves in what is actually good and pure, but attempt more often than not to burrow our paths to try and get to good while heeding all warnings of what is truth, real, and right. You see, nothing but human nature could enter into the second yard with the tree, and even though it was in that yard, it could not penetrate the perfection that it was. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same king of suffering. 1 Peter 5:8-10. This dream revealed so much to me and truly was that answered prayer. God, I felt, revealed himself to me in a way that only I, based on where I am in my life and what I know and regarding what I'm contending with, could understand and see. This dream was not only just about me and my circumstances, but about the world and offering a warning. far too often we attempt to be like the ferrets, burrowing our own paths, trying to get to what is good and calling it right, eating from what is known as wolves in sheep's clothing, or merely just surrendering to listening to the enemy in plain yet not so obvious sight. And because of this, we end up poisoned in my own case, on the wrong road, missing my exit and going the wrong way, trying to solve problems I am not meant to solve on my own, especially without faith. We have in one way or another been warned. Somewhere along the lines of your life, you've been warned about heaven and hell, and someone or something, human nature, tried to persuade you into believing something that isn't true, or attempting to remove the goodness that is the truth of life. And so you've ended up poisoned mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, not feeling held or well, still dismissing or not fully accepting the grace of God, not following through with the devotional practices, trying to take on the world on your own, dismissing the beauty, truth, and importance of what Jesus did for you on the cross, John 3:16. So you suffer unnecessarily, but also necessarily. So what will it take for you to let your human nature go? Your plans, desires, subjective truths, and lean into who God is through what he says and what he's done to restore purity, wholeness, and beauty in your life now. Will you choose today to repent of your sins, to come into acceptance with Jesus Christ, and believe in him and all he's done to further God's kingdom as you choose to allow him to transform your heart? Or will you die in your suffering, poisoned by the knowledge you are trying to derive and make a meaningful life of? Our human nature only has one view in mind, and though it might seem good to remove the tree that's killing the ferrets, the tree is what is true and good. You just might actually be heeding the warning God is offering you to see beyond yourself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:1-5. Take a nice big deep breath in. I want to thank you for coming with me through that really interesting written piece of divine messaging, of God's message. To me, it's so fascinating to see how not only when you get into the Bible, you see Jesus speak in parables. Everything has deeper intended meanings. Jesus doesn't speak in a clear message like, hey, you're doing this wrong and you're doing this right. There are many cases and accounts where he does. But in the most important and powerful and impactful messages that he delivers about what is righteous and true and good and real, he speaks in parables because as human beings, we can't contend with what is true. We will naturally, human nature, try and put our own spin on it based on our own perceivable experiences and ideas and desires and goals and directions that we want to try and control and sometimes even abuse. And what's so fascinating to me about this piece of writing is, well, really honestly, the timing of it, like midnight on a random Wednesday evening. And this is what's going to, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm getting up and I'm typing, God, like, what do you have for me? And it's so fascinating because as I walk away from this piece of literature, not only does it just make so much sense, but equally in the title of this chapter, it's called Semblance, which is what it means is when something looks or appears as if it is something, but it is not. And I'm reading through my philosophy right now, and it's talking about this identity and idea of justice, and how in order to define justice, at the root of justice, you have to get to an intrinsic value of good. And we can't get to an intrinsic value of good that lies within ourselves or has been transformed within ourselves if we are constantly deriving what is just and true and real or appropriately due towards someone based on our own perceptions, desires, and understandings. And so Socrates contends with this, these two men, one being Cephalus, which is a father figure and a very traditional political man, and then his son, Polemarchus. And the son sees the flaws in seeing everything through the lens of tradition, and yet the son takes the more authoritative stance on justice to say so much that justice means to offer to someone what is appropriately due. So friends deserve good things and enemies deserve harm, or enemies will get essentially their karma. And Socrates points out how this doesn't work, because in order to offer up justice appropriately and righteously from that perspective and lens, then a person has to be defined by an intrinsic good. Otherwise, you could deliver goodness or semblance to something that is not good. So mere loyalty in a friendship could be the blinder that enables a friend, with air quotes, poor behavior. And equally, an enemy could be perceived as someone who is bad and not good just simply because you don't like what they're saying or what could in fact be true. And so you offer this form of justice in a very warped and distorted way. Whereas God is saying here in my dream that he is the tree of life. And in his yard, it is perfect. It is impenetrable. It is untouchable. There is literally nothing we could do that could stop him from how good and true and holy he is. But in the first yard, the yard of the worldly, there is tons of warnings, and we constantly will try and dismiss God to go out on our own way and make our own paths, and yet we get poisoned every single time. Like in my example, I ended up on the wrong road, going in the wrong direction, the wrong way. So where are you in your life right now trying to calculate all the different ways and plans that you can do something? You know, I'll give you a couple different scenarios where this could apply. You're on a weight loss journey and you're trying to figure out the best approach, a certain company you're trying to go with, a certain diet plan you're trying to take, advice of different doctors. You're going to multitudes of doctors to try and figure out what you're going to do. But when it comes to weight loss, you have to just start and start optimally with movement. When you start to move your body will naturally start to crave healthier things. And so if diet and dieting and really dieting is not a bad word, or diet in itself is not a bad word, we all have a diet. What you eat is your diet, right? But society has warped our view and our perspective on dieting. And so when we want to lose weight, we look at changing our diets as something that is hard or challenging or bad, or we're going to lose something, or we're not going to have the comfort of something. And so in the same sense, we try and make plans to negate or try to comfort how much we're going to have to give up. Whereas in God, he says, give it all up. Give it all up to me. Let me transform you. Let me be the way, the truth, and the light for you, the reason and the rationale. Let me be the faith and build in your faith so that you can see clearly that you just don't know what to do. That even with the gospel, the dog in the yard, you're still going to find moments and times and ways of burrowing your own path, and you will get poisoned. No one can penetrate his yard, and that's what allows him to remain and stand as good and pure and holy, regardless of what people will do about how many burrowed paths we try and create. And in Isaiah, there's a beautiful passage in chapter 5. I think I read it in the last episode, but in chapter 5, in verse 25 at the end, it says, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." So even though we heed in the warning of the gospel, the dog barking in the yard, and we still try and burrow our own paths, and we do in fact get poisoned by it, he still stands there pure and true and holy and good, and he stretches out his hands to let you know that he's still there for you. And yet, in so many ways, we get in our own way because of the enemy, because of personal bias, because of survival mode, because of unregulated systems, dysregulated nervous systems, excuses that we make, that we attach ourselves to, the lack of honesty we're willing to have to admit the faults that we do in fact beat ourselves up for or try to run from. And so in relation to the weight loss example, you just have to start. You have to decide on one thing that you're going to start diligently working towards consistently every single day. And the best way to even navigate and start that is by getting in the Word and equipping yourself with the knowledge, because your self-doubt is going to come in. Your perceptive bias is going to come in when you've been on a 20-day kick and you go, I haven't seen any change in my body. I haven't lost a single pound. In fact, maybe I've gained 5. You know, I've been eating better and I've been making better choices. I've been drinking more water and I've been going out and walking around the block at least for a couple minutes or for 20 minutes or for an hour a day. And I've been having more fun and doing more things. And here I am gaining weight. And so we'll get in our way and we'll give up and we'll quit because it's like, well, this isn't working. But God is saying that he is always working and he always stands true. And you need to build your faith. You need to build in the consistency of your devotion with your faith, because the world is going to come and poison you. If not your mind, your soul, you can't poison the soul, but your mind, your emotions, your emotional tolerance, your physical body, your spiritual health, it's all going to get poisoned when you don't see the results that you think you should have. God is saying, it's not about what you think, it's about who I am. And there is a massive difference in that. And so it's so interesting to me how this dream reveals so much of God's character. And not only does it reveal so much of his character, but it reveals so much of the work he is truly doing to try and show us to take that perspective and that biased lens glasses off of our eyes and our minds and just listen. Listen. It kind of makes me think of this, and I'm going to leave it with this. God is kind of like the child that keeps coming up to us and pulls on our shirts and says, Mommy, 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 like, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. We say, yeah, just a minute, just a minute. And the kid runs away and he goes and he plays with something else. And it comes back 5 minutes later and he says, Mommy, Mommy, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Come and see, come and see. And you say, oh, just a minute, baby. Like, Mommy's just going to finish the laundry. I says, okay. And so he goes and he goes off and he plays again or he does something else. And he says, Mommy, Mommy, like, I really want to show you this. It's really incredible. Like, it's really great. I had so much fun. I want you to have fun with me. Come and see this. And you say, okay, just a minute. Now Mommy's just finishing cleaning the laundry, or Mommy's doing this, or Mommy's doing that, or after Mommy does this, or once Mommy's done that, or in a minute, or 10 minutes, or whatever. Oh, there's a phone call, so I just got to wait, just got to wait, just got to wait. And instead of just actually stopping in the moment and going to see the good news, the fun, the joy, the peace, the serenity that the child, God, is trying to get your attention to see, and he doesn't give up. He's persistent. He keeps coming and pulling on your shirt. Mommy, Mommy, come and see, come and see. We try and go our own way. We try and come up with our own things. We try and face off or fence off something that is out of the context of what we think we should be doing at the time. And if you look at your life and what you're striving for right now, yes, goals are vital and important. But are your goals aligned with building the kingdom of God? Are you actually taking care of yourself and improving your health? Because without your health, you have nothing else. Are you taking the steps to build better financial health? Are you taking the steps to dig deeper into a faithful devotion with God? Are you taking the time to abstain from your idolatry and adultery and gluttony and envy and lustful thoughts, the desires of the flesh? Or are you staying stuck in those thoughts? You're not praying over them when they come up. You're not catching yourself in them. You're trying to see them through and calculate your way around it, or rationalize and reason how you shouldn't have these thoughts, or how you're a bad person, or why this isn't good enough and why you should be over this by now, instead of just submitting and stopping and praying over it. It doesn't matter how you got to those thoughts. It matters what you do with them or what you do about them. And so turning them over to God, praying over them, God, I see these thoughts as unclean and impure and unholy and not of you. And I just ask that you shield over me and you protect me and you take away what is not from you. I say this prayer so often when my mind starts to wander into burrowed holes that I'm trying to create for myself whilst trying to get to the tree of good and eat from it. And so I pray over it and I pray over it. And some days I pray all day over it. And that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there shouldn't be anything wrong with that for you either. And yet a part of you is going to rationalize and reason, well, that takes a lot of time, or you got all of these things to do, or you don't think of it in the moment. It's like, that's okay. When you do think of it, pray. Or put a reminder instead of affirmations on your windows and your mirrors and all the things, put a sticky note that just simply says pray, so that it can be your reminder. On your phone, put a background that just simply says pray, so it can be your reminder to grow closer to him in all ways. So I want to leave you with this episode today. to mull over, to chew on, to think about, to really see in what ways that God is equally speaking to you through this dream and calling you to surrender yourself to Him. You know, it's so fascinating. So many people who come to Jesus, and I myself, and absolutely included in this, so don't think that I'm putting myself on some pedestal. But so many people who come to Jesus as if He's the genie in the bottle that's going to solve their problems. But Jesus might not solve all of your problems. In fact, some of your problems might actually, in fact, get worse. When I turned to God, our finances were in disarray. We were taking very limited accountability for them. And that was 2.5 years ago. And it's taken us 2.5 years to get to this point where we are literally finally at the tipping point of this next chapter that will be so much better. And yet all of it has been still good. We have been insanely provided for and graced and blessed in the totality of all of this journey. But He didn't just make it better immediately. He worked on our hearts that allowed us to take different actions that were in alignment with Him. So where right now are you trying to operate from your own understanding? And where can you instead pray over your circumstances of challenge and give it up to God? And do, in fact, make, at the very least, one focused decision that improves on the health of whatever the circumstances that you're dealing with. If it's a relationship issue, what can you start doing to improve the health of your relationship? Instead of waiting for your husband to read your mind and know your thoughts and figure out what you're thinking about, even if you've already told him 100 times, talk to him anyways. Talk to him anyways, because it's when you stop talking that the enemy truly has this beautiful, divine, open door to intercede. So, I hope you enjoyed today's session. It was a little bit different than usual, but I know that it truly will change your life in all the ways that it is intended to, if you are willing to truly lay down your own identity and give it to God. Repent of your sins, turn to Jesus, accept Him in your heart, call Him into your life, and get into His Word, because He truly is a good, good Father, pure and holy, standing mighty and righteous and beautiful. And He has His hand outstretched to you no matter how much you have done or what you have hidden or the things you're unwilling to admit or the shame that you carry or the guilt that you have. He's still there holding out His hand. A child tugging on your sweater, "Mommy, mommy, come and look. I have great news for you that I want you to see. And if you would just take a moment to look and listen to me, I promise you, you will never turn back to the world again."